The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress. PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Blah, 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 blah.
Paul Perillo.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Fred Kirsch.
Our show should make cops bigger.
Paul Perillo.
Fred, you don't even believe your own crap now. You don't.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Check it out.
Paul Perillo.
I resign.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
PFW in Progress at its worst.
Woo!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress, and as you may have guessed from the opening, it's the Paul and Fred show today. Well, Kevin's in the booth, but Andy's taking one of his summer days off, and Eric has gone fishing with one of the Patriots coaches. Yes, I'm not kidding.
That can only end badly for
they,
us.
They've embarked on a cruise.
A cruise.
I hope it doesn't end up like Gilligan's Island, but no, they really... Eric is out with Josh Boyer this morning, and he's going to write a story about Josh Boyer fishing out in the ocean. I don't know where they left from, but we'll try to contact Eric on the boat later in the show.
I think he is going to try to connect.
Is he?
Yeah. Okay. Hopefully he's alive.
All right, so I don't know where they went out from and what kind of boat it is and what they're going for and all that stuff, but he's out there fishing with Josh Boyer right now. So that should be pretty interesting when he comes back to hear that story. I think they're going to end up using Eric for chump.
He may sound like this when he calls in.
Right? Because it's Josh Boyer and a friend of his, and then Eric. Talk about third wheel.
Yeah, I would not feel very comfortable in that situation, yeah. I don't think.
So that's where Eric is. He's out.
But Eric's comfortable no matter where he is.
Well, he's
so self-confident.
Like I said, when they reel in a fish, he'll tell them the correct pronunciation of the fish. You know, that's a tuna, not a tuna. And you know, so I can't wait to hear the stories about that.
You think they'll ask him if he's ever tried it, like you do all the time?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's funny, you know, a guy who doesn't like fish. We send him out to go on a fishing trip.
He may be able to recite some of his poetry while he's out there.
Yeah, maybe he'll do a sketch of the whole day.
Or maybe one of his stand-up acts, maybe.
Yeah.
I just found this. Do you know about this pipe bomb at MIT? I didn't know about this.
I heard they found a pipe bomb, yeah. And they
evacuating buildings?
Yeah. So
not good.
No, not good.
It's just in. That's not good.
You know, those crazy MIT kids, you know.
Well, I suppose there's always a possibility that it was one of their own, right?
Yeah. So, what was I going to say? I forget.
I don't know. Do we have really anything pressing to get to from last week? There wasn't really a lot that took place over the weekend. There was a lot of optimism as we closed last week. I think that optimism is still there in terms of the lockout and the labor situation, but we haven't really gotten anything concrete.
Nothing concrete.
Which I think is, we're always taking all these things as, how do you read it? I take that as a good thing.
Yeah.
I think it's going to end without anybody knowing. And the less we know and hear, I think the better it is for the fans.
It'll be sudden. And you were with Tom Brady Friday night at his best buddies thing.
I was.
And he said, you know, he's hearing some positive things, so... You know, if he's hearing them, we're hearing them. They're out there.
What I thought what he said was that
everyone sucks but me.
Hopefully there are a lot of reasonable people that can come to a reasonable conclusion on this whole situation. And I took that as a good way to sort of recognize that there's fault that lies on both sides. It's not, you know, it's not all one against the other. I sort of agreed with that, you know, that tenor, because, you know, trying to paint this out to be good guys against bad guys, I think is the wrong way to go.
It is. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline if you want to call in. Dennis Irvin's in the house today. Do you know who Dennis Irvin is, Paul?
I'm sorry that I don't.
Dennis Irvin was with Manchester United during their heydays in the 90s and early 2000s. And he's here with one of Manchester United's Premiership trophies.
Okay.
Promoting the July
3rd. Yeah, I saw the trophy.
Yeah. Oh, you did?
Yeah, I was in one of the conference rooms upstairs.
Yeah, he's here promoting the July 13th game, Manchester United versus the Revolution. And they're going to go over to the hall and take some pictures with the premiership trophy and the Super Bowl trophies. So I guess Dennis Irvin was pretty good.
You mean player?
Yeah.
Oh, well, if he played at that level, I'm sure he was.
Former Man U, well, you know.
It's not that many stiffs at that level, is there?
You could say the same thing about the NFL, but we call them stiffs.
But I don't think we would send a stiff to another country to promote, you know,
Lenny,
a game.
Saint.
I stand corrected.
But I jest. But so for those of you that are Man U fans or Premiership League fans, Dennis Irvin is in the house. It's kind of neat. So he's touring around, and we'll get some photos up on Patriots.com later in the day. Thought I'd mention that. What else? The Bruins last night. Big win.
Just an amazing.
I thought that.
Explosion.
I thought both teams were very physical, but I think the Bruins got Vancouver out of their game. Vancouver was trying to be physical all night, and I think they were, but that's not their game. And I think the Bruins, you know, really took it to them, obviously, and yeah. got them out of their game and made them play their kind of game, and the Bruins are better at that.
Yeah, in Vancouver, Vancouver was more physical in both games. So that was a problem. Last night, the Bruins definitely upped it, upped the intensity, and as I've been saying, and Andy's been mocking at me, they scored. You have to score goals to get the lead to allow you to play the style that you want to play. I agree with you. I think the Bruins were skating better last night. They were more emotional last night. Obviously, the situation where they lose Horton early in the game was a rallying point for them, a galvanizing situation, especially when they get to the locker room and they realize he's okay,
right.
even though he's not going to be able to play moving forward. He's okay. He's moving you know, his extremities. So they knew he was out of harm's way, and they were able to go out and sort of, I think, unleash a whole lot of frustration on Vancouver. I think, I hope, maybe a homer in me here talking, but I think they've changed the tenor of the series.
Oh, it's a pivot game. I think if the Bruins, you know, win this next game in Boston, it's anyone's series. I
Scary
think it's
stuff
up for grabs.
Last night, though, with Horton. Yeah. To see his arm remain over his head like that for as long as it was, I thought he was having a hard time breathing.
That's what I thought.
The way they were throwing the bags around off the board and stuff.
That's what I thought. Cheap shot? You thought it was a cheap shot?
As vicious as they come.
Yeah.
Yeah, as vicious as cheap. It was late. It was a sucker shot that he didn't see coming, whether you want to call it a blindside hit or not. He didn't know it was coming, nor should he have known it was coming that much after he made the pass. The guy left his feet and went high and made direct contact with his head, in my opinion, intentionally. He threw his shoulder up into the right under the chin. And what happened is, to me, what you would expect to happen on a hit like that. It wasn't, well, it was a fluke, one in a lifetime, hit into the boards, and the guy, you know, the guy's head went down. That's not what happened here. This was, I think, a premeditated cheap shot.
By the way, this Nicole Oliverio from Channel 7 reporting on the Bruins. Not bad.
Definitely not bad. But when did it become okay for journalists, and I use air quotes, to just put the team's paraphernalia on? Like, we work for the team, and we're really not permitted to wear Patriots shirts.
I know.
Like,
but
on game day.
I think that when we were in the Super Bowl, I think other journalists did that.
Oh, no, no, no.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
They do. They absolutely do. I'm asking, when did it become permissible?
It's tough doing the right thing all the time, Paul.
You're covering an event. You're supposed to be a purveyor of news.
Well, we're all fans now.
Right?
A purveyor of news. I like that.
Fred, you were aware of the Twitter sphere last night that Andy and I were having a lot of fun going back and forth throughout the game.
Yeah.
I am a fan right now. I'm not covering the Bruins. I am a fan. But if I'm covering the game, I got to be a little bit different than I, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's weird. The way we act when our teams, you know, I have no doubt Patriot shirts would be on, Red Sox shirts would be on, Celtic shirts would be on.
Well, it just goes to show that, you know, it's good for the region when teams win, and no matter what they say economically, it's better when your team is winning.
You don't think their ratings right now? I mean,
absolutely.
You know, this is Channel 7. That's the local NBC affiliate that is covering the carrying the games.
Right.
Not 3 and 4. They're on Versus, but all the other 5 games potentially will be on NBC.
They're benefiting.
They're having pregame shows on the station. They're doing
sure.
it.
Simon, who was near the ye olde cock inn, says, "Afternoon, gents. Playing the role of Eric today. It's Irwin, as in Irwin, not Irving." I don't think I said Irving. I think I said Irvin, but
I was
Irwin.
Going off Fred. I never heard of the guy.
Irwin.
So you guys can write in now and tell me what a, you know, ignorant fool I am for not having heard of soccer player.
Dennis Irwin.
Jaws.
Apparently everybody on Channel 7 is wearing
But that's
Irwin's
what I'm saying.
T-shirts. Yeah.
Like, why is that, you know, yeah, when did that become, you know, the norm? Despite the fact that I don't mind seeing her in that T-shirt.
No, it's
she could be wearing better things.
She's feeling it out. She's filling it out rather
and
nicely.
And you'd like to feel her up.
She's filling it out nicely.
Web radio at patriots.com.
That guy, however, is not.
508-298-0398. So you went to the Best Buddies thing. There were a lot of players there.
I did. There was, you know, Wes. We should talk about that a little bit. Wes Welker was there, Julian Edelman, Brian Hoyer, Rob Gronkowski, Dan Copen, Nate Solder, the only rookie in attendance. By the way, just as an aside, really impressed Tom Brady as a rookie being at that event. So there was a handful, you know, maybe six or eight players or so. A couple of former players. Teddy Bruschi was in attendance, looking very thin, I thought. I mentioned it to him, and he said it was just from the climb.
Yeah, he climbed Kilimanjaro.
Felt like he lost some weight on the climb and still was recovering from it, by the way, although he looked great.
Huh.
Christian Fourier also there, Scott Zolak, some other former Patriots that were around. Very low-key event. They had a lot of fun. It was a flag football game. Tom serves as the quarterback for both teams. I want to say something about this because the coverage, I thought, was a little bit misleading. Please completely ignore anything football-related in assessing Tom Brady. He barely ran a step. You know, this whole notion that he looked great throwing the ball. It was a very low-key event for a charity organization. Tom served as quarterback for both sides. He never threw the ball hard once. He never stepped into a throw once. He barely ran three steps at a time. To say that he, quote-unquote, looked good or bad would be silly.
Right.
There was just no – it wasn't that kind of an event.
Yeah, there were some stories saying, oh, he looks great.
Recovering from that, Peter King.
Yeah, no problems.
Peter King wrote it, you know, despite the fact he wasn't there.
Anyway. Strippers writes in Celtics News – Ray Allen has exercised his option for the 2011-12 season. Terms of the deal were not disclosed.
Yep.
So that means he signed with the Celtics again?
Yeah, he'll be back.
He had like a player option.
Okay. All right, good for him.
And the Bruins apparently aren't practicing today. That was another thing that just blew up the Twitter.
They are not practicing.
They are not. There was an it looked like it was going to be an optional practice, and they just nixed it all together, so they will not skate today.
Speaking of...
running out of players.
Peter King, Jim Van Walpole writes in, Peter King is really becoming too insufferable to stomach. I just read Monday Morning Quarterback hoping to gain some insight into the labor hearings, but instead was forced to read three pages of his personal book recommendations, a list of coffee and beer he enjoyed this weekend, and him bitching how annoying people in Starbucks can be. Stick to football. Nobody cares. Wow.
I would tend to agree. I think that the Monday Morning Quarterback has sort of become a caricature of itself.
And
I used to really enjoy it. And I wasn't one of those guys that I couldn't read it because he wrote too much personal stuff. Way back when, going back, you know.
Back in the 50s
maybe like,
with Paul
you know,
Brown?
Maybe six years or so, 8 years. His daughters played a lot of high school softball and he always wrote about them. Yeah. I didn't even mind that as much. But now he seems to have become completely, I agree with the email, totally insufferable with his chastising, his preaching. You know, one interesting thing that football related that we haven't talked about, Plaxico Burress, released from prison.
Right.
See where he ends up. You know, there's a lot of theories out there. You know, not a lot of wear and tear in the body with 2 years of inactivity. Probably in great shape, much like Michael Vick. Not a whole lot else to do when you're behind bars.
Right.
You're not getting in any trouble, obviously. Is he worth it? 33 years old, is he worth the risk for you?
I'd sit down and talk with him, and I'd make an evaluation, maybe work him out, see where his head's at. I would not, you know, say no offhand. I would, you know, kick the tires.
Yeah, I'm not interested. But I understand your theory.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think your theory is sound.
Motsi says...
Adam Schefter, by the way, has tweeted out three potential landing spots, which is why this came to my mind.
Yeah.
He says the Rams, the Dolphins, and the Jets, three potential spots. I guess Burress has said publicly that he would like to get out of New York. So maybe the Jets are
he wants to go somewhere where the gun laws aren't as strict.
That would be the cynical way of looking at it.
So the Cardinals would be good.
I think maybe he probably feels like there's too many distractions.
Paul should be embarrassed, says Motsi. Why is Paul so bent out of shape if he had one about soccer? Isn't he supposed to be Italian?
Yes, I am Italian.
So, Paul, you're Italian. You're supposed to love soccer.
Yeah, I remember in the 80s, maybe 82. Would that be a World Cup year, 82, that maybe Italy won?
Maybe.
The city of Everett just went absolutely crazy.
Because,
you know, at the time, that's all we had
was
Irish and Italian Catholics in Everett, and mostly Italians. And people were just riding up and down the street, honking their horns, waving their flags and stuff.
Sure.
And, you know, I was playing street hockey or something. I don't know. I didn't really have much interest.
That's
but, yeah, no, I've never been a soccer fan. I tease you guys. I don't really mean to make fun of it. It's just not my thing.
Back last week, we were talking about Andy believes that someday the Earth's just going to explode.
Either that or his head.
Right, because of
he was awake last night, believe it or not.
Yeah.
That was the most stunning part of our little Twitter battle, is he was awake.
He was awake. But Scott, who is an accredited geological scientist, see, no matter what the subject matter,
really
one of our
true.
Listeners is an expert on it. He said, did Andy genuinely say molten lava? Two things wrong with that. First, lava is the word for liquid rock. Once it's on the surface, it's called magma when it's within the earth, and it's chemically slightly different. Secondly, solid lava is usually known as rock. So saying it's molten lava is pretty pointless. The nature of lava means it must be molten. That got a laugh from the geeky side of me, at least so. Thanks, guys. The earth can't explode, so anyone who was worried about that. At worst, it will cool to a point where nuclear fusion in the core stops and tectonic movements cease. This would essentially be the end of all life on Earth because the sun cannot generate the heat and surface processes required to support life. So, but he has also a football question.
Okay.
But it's geared at Andy. He wants to know what Andy thought of North Carolina outside linebacker defensive end Quentin Copples. What does he think of him for 2012? I think he mentioned him.
But we don't really, we're not really getting into 2012 draft talk, are we?
I mean, we're just trying to get the 2011 season going.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just trying to get the quarterback center exchange.
Sure. So webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398. In case you're just joining us, Eric is out fishing with Josh Boyer. I know that sounds kind of weird, but
it's a good day to get your phone calls in because Freddie's going to be looking for some help here.
It's true. He's out fishing with Josh Boyer.
Hey, how about the snowman, Freddie, that the Bruins put on the board last night?
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
you're big on that 8 snowman.
That was
thing,
a
right?
route. I mean, at the end, it was just like Vancouver. And did you hear the broadcaster, I think with like 20-some-odd seconds left, Vancouver just kind of skated it out and didn't do anything. And the announcer said that they were if they choose to make a mockery of the game.
I think that was the larger point of they got what they deserved in the game last night because of what they did in game two and how they acted and all that
and
stuff.
Also, okay.
Listen, Vancouver's not making many friends around the league.
No.
Freddie, I'm with you because he said that when the Bruins were on that last power play with like a minute left and the game was over, he said that the Bruins were correct in not putting their top power play line out on the ice to rub it in. The message had already been sent.
Right. And they still scored.
And they still scored.
Which was great.
Which made me laugh.
Which was great. Yeah, I absolutely agree with you guys. But, it's funny. I heard you don't listen. The NHL is clearly number four when it comes to the big four, right? It's a distant four. So you don't really see a whole lot of stuff around the league during the course of the season. I don't know a whole lot about Vancouver beyond, the obvious stuff. I was amazed with how many guys around the league hate this team. I heard Ryan Whitney, who's a kid who I knew a little bit from his playing days at BU, not when I was in school, Freddie. He's obviously a lot younger than me. He is now, he was in the NHL on the Pittsburgh Penguins, part of their Stanley Cup champions. He said that to a man, everybody in the league will tell you they hate the Vancouver Canucks, the Sedin twins, as they call them now, the Sedin sisters,
right?
In particular. And I was really stunned to hear a fellow player, he's a current player now, talking in those kinds of terms. He says the way they go about their business, the way they play, they're just a very unlikable team. And evidently, his view on that is not alone, because to listen to some of the venom of some of the, I mean, Mike Milbury is a Boston guy.
Right.
So you can understand, but some of the other, like those comments that you guys are talking about, those weren't Boston guys last night.
No.
Calling out Vancouver. That was really,
no,
I
really think
to.
That this series has pivoted. And I think that now Vancouver mentally is out of their game. I mean, how can they come into game four thinking confidently about themselves? You know,
from the goalie right on out, because the goalie is shaky. He's shaky mentally to begin with. He's extremely talented, but is prone to these meltdowns in big spots. Even in the gold medal winning game that he played, Canada really controlled that game and had a 2-0 lead, and the U.S. came back and tied it with a late goal. And he was a little shaky. He made some saves in that game that he somehow managed to keep out of the net, but didn't look real good doing it. And there's still a lot of questions about him. And you pump eight by him last night. Do you think it's weird that the coach left them in there for all eight, too, and didn't take him out, say, after the fifth goal? Or even
weird.
At the end of the second period when it was only 4-0?
It is kind
of
weird.
I thought it was strange that he did that. I'm into this. I'd like to see the Bruins get another title for Boston.
Can you imagine? That would be unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, it was good stuff in Boston last night. I'll tell you, the place was rocking.
That's about as loud as I can remember.
Kevin, were you there?
Seeing it. He didn't go last night.
I was not.
You going Wednesday?
Probably not.
No?
I probably go to game six.
You gone to that well too often? Nothing there left? Nothing left?
Well, I think I've used my freebies up, so now it's on my dollar. And it's pretty expensive.
Yeah, I was offered $6.55.
Yeah, I was made a similar offer, and I just can't swing that right now.
$6.55. I can't do that.
Joey writes in, hey, Fred and Paul, no Big Head or Mr. Pronunciation Eric today? Well, that's okay. You and Paul are terrific.
Hey, thanks.
I just want to let you know you guys are great to listen to. Lately, the dearth of football news to talk about has freed you up to explore various topics in depth, and I really love the broadcast. Extremely fun and entertaining. Keep it up. One football question. Do you and Paul think we will add a veteran wide receiver once free agency gets allowed, like a big name? Like Ocho, Steve Smith, or if I may be allowed to dream, Fitzgerald. Once again, great stuff on the podcast, and keep it the F up, says Joey. We were talking about that yesterday, that you know, I still believe the wide receiver position is one that can and should be upgraded. And I'm not sold on the fact that Deion Branch is a lock for this team. I think that if they did make some moves, he could be one of those guys that don't make it through training camp.
You mean based on they'll cut him for ability?
No. If they pick up some other people,
he's not going to get cut for ability.
No, if they get people better, and then
that's not going to happen. They're not going to get enough players that are better than him in free agency to make him expendable. He'll be expendable because of his contract.
Well, whatever.
I agree with you. I don't think he's a lock, because I think if they say, well, he's probably, let's say he's 75% of what he used to be.
Right.
I can get a guy to come in here and, you know.
Right. No, sure.
Maybe closely replicate half the money.
Right.
So I'll do it.
I think right now, obviously, if you start the season right now, he's a lock. You got to have him. But I'm saying that things could change to the point where, when you combine his contract and
they would have to sign three wide receivers of equal or better value to him in order to say that just ability wise he's not good enough.
Well,
what
if they want a game day spot for Taylor Price? You know, there's one spot right there.
But he's not better than Deion Branch right now.
No, but when you factor in, let's make room for
Price.
But
that's what I'm saying. Factor in the salary.
Right,
that's what I'm saying.
Right. And then you bring in a guy who you do think offers more than Branch. You know, because Branch is not the same receiver as Welker. They are different. But what Branch can do these days doesn't offer you that much more. You know what I'm saying? Like in that Jets game, Branch couldn't be that guy that got to the outside to make catches. You know? And so he was limited. His effectiveness.
So one game you're going to just say he's
done? I think we're looking at
Welker was ineffective in that game, too. You want to get rid
of
him, too?
Right, because they needed somebody on the outside, and they didn't have anybody.
So the guy on the inside is given a pass, because they had no one on the outside to do anything. The guy, why isn't the guy on the outside giving a pass? Because the guy on the inside couldn't do anything.
I'll tell you why.
Listen,
because
the
when you talk about
thoroughly ineffective in that game.
Listen to me. When you talk about guys on the inside, I'd rather have Welker over Branch. Okay, and then
right now I would too.
And then you know, okay, so now you've identified a weakness on the Patriots, which is they really don't have an outside threat. Okay, if I get an outside threat, that makes Branch expendable. That's what I'm saying.
Well, in that case, I would agree with you.
That's what I'm
saying.
But
not in your scenario of maybe they want to get Taylor Price.
No. Like I said,
same day act.
As of right now, today.
You just said, I need to get a guy who's better than Deion Branch on the outside.
Right.
Now I'm with you.
Right.
If you want to upgrade and do that, but I think you need two or three guys to make Branch expendable. Because they just do not have a very deep receiver.
No, they don't.
I think the emailers are exactly right, and I do expect them to pick up a veteran free agent. I'm not sure how big the name will be, but I do think Ocho Cinco is a possibility. I do think someone like that, of that stature, is a possibility. I don't know exactly what they'll do, but I'd be surprised if they did nothing. I'd be surprised.
Right.
I think they need an NFL-caliber receiver to go with Branch and Welker and Edelman and the tight ends and Price and Tate. I don't think they have an answer. They need somebody.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Joe in Pennsylvania. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, Joe.
Good. Hey, Vancouver sucks. I'm a Red Wings fan, and I can't stand them. So I hope the Sedin sisters get knocked out 8-1 every game. So.
Well, you have the luxury of having one of the most professional teams in that league on a yearly basis to watch with the Red Wings. I mean, they do everything. They do everything right.
Well, we try. Apparently, not win lately though.
Well,
what
you don't know. You don't know what it's like not to have won lately. Would you win the cup 3 years ago?
So what do you guys think of this proposed 8-game schedule that they're throwing around now? I mean, Goodell keeps on talking how he wants, or the season ticket holders want 18 games and, you know, two preseason games and all this. I mean, is this really a solution, cutting the year in half and only giving 8 games?
Well, I think they threw that out there just, again, it's posturing just to show the other side that, you know, they have plans. They have contingency plans, you know, for worst-case scenarios. So
I missed that.
Yeah,
there was a proposal for 8 games.
Yeah, well, they had a plan for an 8-game schedule.
I guess the only thing that gets me is, I mean, we're almost in the middle of June. If you're going to posture, that's what like March 21st and April and all that was for. I mean, at this point, it's a little past posturing. Shouldn't we kind of just be settling things?
Oh, absolutely. But like as you saw in the 8th District Court arguments on Friday. I mean, that was like doomsday scenarios. You know, when they asked the guy from the NFL how long the lockout could last, he said it could last a year. So, you know, the rhetoric is still worst case, but it, like Paul said in the beginning of the show, this will happen. You won't even know it happened.
Well, I think it's good if that's what happens.
Right.
I don't know if it will happen that way. I hope it does.
Right. This will not be something where, like, it's a developing story and then over a course of 4 or 5 days,
it gets
better and better. It'll, all of a sudden, it'll just happen. And the reason why it'll be because it happened behind closed doors. No information got out as to, you know, what was going on behind, and then it'll just happen. That's the way these things occur. The stuff that you hear out front, it's just the lawyers and the representatives making, you know, making noise. It's the stuff we don't know about that's the progress.
Yeah. Is it going to take, like, almost like that secret meeting that happened in Chicago?
Yes.
With guys like Mike Vrabel and Matt Light and all these guys sitting at a table with, you know, Mr. Kraft and Jerry Richardson and all these guys, and nobody know about it?
Yes.
That's what I hope.
That's where the progress will be made.
My fingers crossed about something like that. I think that's the only way you can make progress. Even if you looked at some of the aftermath of those meetings when they talked about it, and who was the guy, I forget the lawyer, who said on the owner's side something like,
Jeffrey Pash.
It was either Pash or maybe Clement or one of those guys. He said something along the lines of, and I'm paraphrasing, just the fact that the players are negotiating with us tells us that the decertification was a scam.
Right.
We don't need that.
Right. We don't
need.
We don't need you commenting.
Keep that to yourself.
Right. Because
the lockout was a scam.
Of course it was.
Right. The owners want a union. You know, they need a union. They don't want these guys free, because if you follow the legal course to the end, it's not going to be good for either side. You know,
the
end result of either side winning in court is not good for the game of football. So you need this to be negotiated as a labor deal behind closed doors. And I believe that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah. So, well, hey, thanks a lot, guys.
Okay, Joe.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks for the call. That's Joe from Pennsylvania. Hey, you know, we talked about Jake Steele, crime fighter with the Cadillac.
Unbelievable.
We've had two people now who have submitted artistic renderings of what Jake Steele should look like. And now a third who has just sent us a full comic strip. So
people have a lot of time.
Kevin, we got to get that up on the Facebook page.
Okay, let's do it.
Can you put that on the Facebook?
Do you have access to the web radio?
Yeah, I'll get in there and...
Yeah, go into web radio. There's one. I'll mention who they are because they should be given credit. The first one came in from, Mass Man. Is that what he called himself? I guess. He says, I'm a longtime listener and illustrator. As I was listening to the last show, towards the end, you guys were throwing around some ideas for Fred's character, Jake Steele, crime fighter in a Cadillac. So I decided to take it upon myself.
Crime fighter in a Cadillac.
Right. Or the Cadillac crime fighter. So I decided to take it upon myself this weekend to bring this character somewhat to life using my illustration skills and drew up a sketch of this fella aided by the descriptions I heard on the podcast and added a few things from previous discussions about Fred in there as well. Of course, he's got the fedora and the cigar as props, but then possibly as a signature weapon stemming from Fred's dream of killing the big head in cold blood, I added the very hatchet. So there you go. Hat, cigar, hatchet sounded pretty good to me. As for the concept of the wrestling singlet, I was stuck between making an esoteric reference of Fred's infamous past football fandom and love for John Elway, therefore replicating a Broncos jersey, or just searching for Emerson sports attire. I chose to keep it local and go with the Emerson look as suggested. Couldn't find any wrestling gear, so I had to wing it. Hope you guys like it, and I would love to hear the feedback. So that's Mass Man's contribution.
I have the comic strip up right
here. Yeah, and then Tyler... also sent something in from Georgia. He says, I had a slow day at work on Thursday, so after hearing the costume ideas for Jake Steele, the Cadillac crime fighter, I began doodling. I used the generic body type from the Cartoon Network Justice League show and came up with my idea for Foxborough's newest crime fighter. All I could find to add color was a box of crayons, and I don't think they transferred well on when I scanned, but attached is my rendition of Jake Steele. He is suited up in a purple singlet with a gold utility belt. I looked up Emerson College's colors. All of the heroes I have seen wearing a fedora also have a trench coat, so I added that as well. You will have to forgive me because I completely forgot about the cigar. Please let me know what you think. Maybe we will be seeing Jake Steele Begins in theaters real soon.
Can you forward that one to me, Freddie?
Let's see. I'll do that right now. How do I do that? I hit the forward button. And then is it Kevin C.?
Yep.
This is really PFW in progress here.
And also, we had a speaking of the Facebook, Freddie, we had a quick question come in from our good friend Cavern down in Gainesville, Florida.
Yeah.
He wrote in, and he wanted me to ask you if there were any updates coming to the iPhone about the iPhone app that permits you to listen live and use other functions on your phone at the same time.
Multitasking. That will be coming absolutely this summer. I guarantee that.
Cool.
That is on the roadmap, and it will be coming this summer in one of the upgrades. Absolutely. So I just sent Kevin, Tyler, and Massman's.
Great.
And then Terry has done a full comic strip.
Which I have right here.
He says, after listening to Thursday's extended discussion on Fred's dreams of becoming a crime fighter, I couldn't resist drawing another cartoon featuring Jake Steele, the Cadillac crime fighter. Hopefully this is a fun diversion from the awful lockout. Please let me know what you think. I have posted it on PFW in Progress in the latest show form if listeners want to check it out. So what is the address for the Facebook page, Kevin?
I have the URL. It's really, really long. But if you go on Facebook.com in your account and you just search PFW in Progress, it'll pop right up.
Okay.
That's the easiest way to find it. So in the search bar at the top of the Facebook page, after you sign into your account, if you just type in PFW, it'll pop up. But PFW in Progress is the title of the page.
Okay, great. So you've got everything up there now?
Working on it.
All right. And Strippers writes in, he goes, I started listening 2 minutes in, but so far no wiener jokes. reference to Anthony Wiener, who really let it all hang out yesterday.
Who pulled out?
Yeah. What an idiot. I mean, this guy is, I mean, he's obviously got this sickness.
But why can't you just, you know, resign? Is it that hard?
He's got to resign.
It's not like you're the first disgraced politician.
You know what he should do? He should resign, let them fill a seat, and then run again in 2 years and let the voters decide if you should come back. He shouldn't make the decision whether or not he wants to stay in office. He's given up the right to hold that seat. You resign and run again in the next election and let the voters decide. But, I mean, the stuff that he's admitting to, I'll bet you it's not even scratches the surface.
Well, you mean he fell off the I was hacked bandwagon?
Oh, well, yeah. Now he admits to doing it. His wife knew and all this stuff. But I'll bet you he's like one of those guys that are hooked on 1-900 numbers.
I'm glad the wife wasn't there.
Chat roulette and all that stuff. What?
I'm glad the wife wasn't there at the press conference.
Oh, yeah. I hate when they drag the wife out and she has to stand there.
The poor woman, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know what goes. What is it with being in politics? They're a bunch of sex crazed criminals. That's where Jake Steele. I think that's going to be
Jake's, there it is. There
Jake
it is.
Steele
it all comes full circle.
The Cadillac crime fighter's number one nemesis will be politicians.
The Cadillac crime fighter.
He's going to go and just bury hatchets in their head when he finds out when they digress.
When
they digress.
Or they transgress.
When they transgress.
When they digress. But I digress.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Let's see. Tiff in Wisconsin writes in, "Hey guys, and Chaz, the log cabin Republican. Why don't you guys ever talk about Calvin Johnson in your hypothetical trades? In my eye, he's a patriot. Wouldn't Brady love to throw to a receiver like Calvin Johnson? Sure he would, but
he's not available.
He's not even remotely available. At least Fitzgerald talked about
Ocho Cinco is somewhat available. Steve Smith is somewhat available. Sidney Rice is somewhat available. I mean, he's a free agent. There's been talk that Larry Fitzgerald wants out of Arizona. Now, he hasn't really said any of this.
But it's just rumors.
There are rumors. Calvin Johnson ain't going anywhere.
No. No. And
yes, I would take Calvin Johnson.
You know, and if you're Calvin Johnson, I mean, you got to be somewhat optimistic about your team's chances. You know, Matthew Stafford has that injury problem.
When he's been healthy, it's just been so infrequently.
Right.
They have a pretty good offense.
Yeah, and the defense is
and all of a sudden now it seems like they have the makings of a good young defense with Sue last year, and now they get Fairley.
Right.
You know, they have some pieces in place. Schwartzy's a Belichick guy. You know, I don't know. Not all the Belichick guys have succeeded, but maybe this guy is going to.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a pretty competitive game last Thanksgiving. I mean, for three quarters, the Patriots were in some trouble.
That's right.
And then they, you know, the cream rose to the top in the fourth quarter, and we blew their doors off. But, you know, that was a pretty good game for three quarters.
Tiff also says, "I love the show. It gets funnier every day. I have my friend listening to the podcast now. She thinks you guys are hilarious, too. By the way, she's a Packer fan. Just saying, you guys have a crossover fan appeal."
Andy's not here, so you can't get the joke about being a Packer.
Right. "Please talk up Calvin Johnson or dissuade me from loving him so much and wanting him to be a Patriot." Hey, the guy's the real deal. He is a beast. I would love him to be a Patriot, but ain't no way the Lions giving him up.
I love Calvin Johnson.
Yeah. The Lions, I mean, he's one of the foundations of their team right now. So, you know, it's one of those things where you'd rather not even think about him because you can't have him. He's just not going to be here. So, but I hear you. I love him, too. I think he's a man.
He's a man, baby.
Love him in a guy sort of way.
Yeah, you know? No, you love him because he's a man. Fred loves him because he's a man.
Let's see. Alden in Illinois. "Hey, guys," and Chaz, not Chaz Palminteri, Eric. "Had to send the email in early because I will be taking a science final during the show."
Science!
Anyway, I don't agree with Andy's idea that we should just stop overruling and let the refs have all the control. I do agree that the rules are getting too intricate and specific, but there is a book called Scorecasting, which touches on how the refs go with the home team with their calls, giving the home team the advantage. This would probably even out through the year, but it could have a serious effect on the outcome of games and could seriously impact away teams.
I don't really understand that email. Do you?
I guess this book maybe has gone on and
no,
done
a... No, but what does that have to do with... The rules. the referees have all that judgment now.
Right.
I mean, if there's a book out there that says the home team gets the benefit of the calls, nothing the NFL can do can prevent that. Right?
I guess so. I mean,
the NFL is ruling on suspensions and whatnot after the fact.
The NFL tries to make it as much black and white as possible to prevent those types of calls, but the more they do that, the more they...
Well, they're creating those calls, not preventing.
Right. They can't get away from it, you know, because they get the wording, and the wording, like the emailers said, becomes so intricate.
But my point is, if there's some sort of inequity with the calls as regards to home or away, that you can't legislate that out. I mean, the referees still are there to make calls.
Yeah.
So if there's some kind of problem with home and away, which I don't really see in football, in basketball, it's an unbelievable part of the game.
Yeah, NBA
officials absolutely get swayed by the home court.
I've refed some basketball games.
It's a hard sport.
Intramural in college.
It's a hard sport to ref.
Especially when the players you're refing are drunk to begin with. That makes it even tougher.
Oh, I was a terrible intramural ref.
But it's hard being a human being not to try to, in your mind, think, oh, if I make this call, the fans are good. I'm just going to hear about it. You know, that goes through your mind.
Well,
even though you make the call, it still goes through your mind.
You know, you get a situation where, you know, it's a tight game and the home team's making a run and they need a stop on defense and that crowd's going crazy and you're thinking, that was close, but they're going to be upset.
Right.
It's human nature.
Yeah.
It's human nature. And I think in the NBA, it's as bad as any of the sports. I can see the crowd impact the officials in the NBA more so than any other league, really by a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
By a lot.
You're right on top of it.
But what I think, and I think what Andy, not to speak for Andy, but I just think I don't want to legislate out any of the rules or anything like that. I just want it to be, rather than have all these black and white stipulations on the hits, just let the referees go out there and say, the hit last night on in the Bruins game,
right.
You know, that's unnecessary roughness in the NFL. You didn't need to hit him like that. Now, in the NHL, it was a black and white penalty. It was interference. The guy didn't have the puck. So it was an easy penalty call. But the referee called a 5-minute major for interference.
Why do they allow?
Because of the nature of the hit.
Why do they allow against the boards after a guy's got rid of the puck, the guy to follow through?
Well, it
with
depends
his
on
hit.
How long after the guy got rid of the puck. If it's like a second or so, you can get away with it. But if it's as late as it was last night, that was over 3 seconds last night after he had made that pass. That was that's a long time in the NHL. So that's why it's interference. But you can't just go around hitting guys that don't have the puck.
No. Let's see, Phil from Nova Scotia, given the timing of the new tailgating show this season, are you worried about drunk callers? I know all my sober calls have sucked. Maybe I need to drink to get drunk to make them better. It may be worth a try. I love the idea of the new show. I will definitely be listening, but why the new show? Is this a cost-saving measure as well as a great idea? Absolutely not. It has nothing to do with money.
No.
It has to do with, again, this is PFW in progress, so it's good to talk about how we come up with these ideas. It's part of the show. But for a couple of years now, we've been talking about, how do we cover games? You know, how have games been covered in the past and how that has changed and how should we cover games in the future? And, we've said for a while now that, you don't need to cover a game like Grantland Rice anymore, where you're describing every play because for the most part, people are seeing the game that you're covering or listen to the game that you're covering or shortly after see all the highlights of the game. Coverage is that good these days, with the internet and everything else. So, how you cover a game, I think, needs to change. It becomes more analysis, more commentary, more reaction, more stuff you can't get as a viewer or a listener.
With just the two of us in here today, it might be a good time. We have an hour and a half or so left, hour and 15 minutes. You guys are our core audience. You guys listen to us every week. Many of you read the paper. What Fred and I are constantly trying to find and looking for is the element that you can't get anywhere else.
Right.
We're looking for something in Patriots Football Weekly that you're not going to find just trolling anywhere around the Boston papers. We try to cover the team the same exact way as everybody else, and we do. We get all of the information just like all the other mainstream newspapers, the Globe, the Herald, and you know all of that. We're looking for something that might be a little bit different. We think this show that Andy and I are going to do on Sundays is something that you can't get anywhere else.
Right.
And that's one aspect of it. But we're also looking for things that you might – I'm looking for suggestions from some of our listeners, things that you might want to see in the paper regarding game day. So
yep.
I'd be interested to see if we get any suggestions.
Freddie, when you just mentioned our Facebook page here, we just had 8 requests pop up to join.
Well, that's good. So. Joey Feep is having trouble. He can't find it.
Feep.
So
just go into the search bar, Joey. You got to log in under your account, and on the top where you search, you can search for people, groups, whatever. Just type in PFW, and it'll pop right up.
So just type in PFW. So, but getting back to what we're talking about here, so what we have so far for the pregame show is obviously it'll be online. You come to Patriots.com, you'll click over, and you'll actually listen to the show from our Facebook page. So we're trying to promote the social interactivity of the game. You'll also be able to listen to the show on your mobile devices as well, or iPads. So that's where you'll listen to it. But then as far as what's going on, you know, Andy and Paul will be in the studio. And the way I kind of have it envisioned is, in addition to having phone calls, and I think by then I'm going to set up a 1-800 number, but beyond that, you'll get phone calls. You'll be able to email in the same way you do now. But we're going to have monitors up here. And, you know, these guys are going to be, you know, putting in the keyword for the Patriots in the game and seeing what's being tweeted all over, you know, the Twittersphere. Is that what they call it?
We want the tweets. We want the texts.
Yeah,
we want Facebook. We want anything.
What are people saying about our game?
How
out
are you tailgating?
The universe?
How are you getting ready to watch the game?
Right.
What do you think the keys are to the game?
Right. And then
all kinds of stuff.
Then we want input from the various fan clubs around the world. So, you know, if the Denver, if the Colorado fan club is gathering at a bar, you know, someone call in from the bar and let us know what's going on there. Someone call in, you know, from Arizona, from the Arizona fan club, and check in with us and you know, tell us what's going on over there. So it's really like the fan show. It's a virtual tailgate. And of course, you know, Paul and Andy they'll interview, you know, a writer from the opposing team. I'll call in with the injury update as soon, you know, the inactives as soon as they come out, you know, so I'll check in from, you know, the stadium. But it's all about really what the fans want to talk about, what they're hearing, what the rumors are. You know, we'll keep in touch with Schefter and Peter King and all those guys, Twitter, and see what they're saying, you know, as well as Facebook. And they'll be sort of just monitoring the social network, the social universe for you guys while you input with the show. But that's what we have so far. We'd like to hear from you if you have a, you know, an idea for this 2-hour show.
An idea for the show or something you want to see in the paper.
Something in the paper.
One of our new members that just joined since we've started this conversation, Darius, just wrote in, love the show, need more. 2 hours is not enough.
Well, I mean, that's, you know,
I love that.
Yeah.
Because I love doing the show.
We're going to, you can always go up. If you go down, that's a bad thing. So we'll start with 2 hours. Maybe we'll do three. Who knows? But we'll start with 2 hours and see how that goes. And we'll go right up to 15 minutes before the game. And then those guys will obviously get ready to watch because, you know, they've got that stuff. And then I'll start the blog. I'll start Kirsch Words. Last year I started that like an hour and a half before the game. We'll do this show up to 15 minutes, then I'll start the blog 15 minutes before the game. So, you know, you guys, obviously all the listeners, you're going to want to start watching too. So, you know, you start watching with me. So now post game, we haven't decided if we're going to do a post game show yet. Now that does come to money because Paul and Andy can't do it because now they're working on the paper. And obviously I can't do it because I'm at the game with Eric. So we would have to bring in somebody to do a post-game show. Not ruling it out, but, you know, that becomes then a money decision. We'll see. I do think there's a need for it because I think you guys are going to want to talk about the game. And the best place to do that is here, but we'll see. We'll see, you know, in the next month or so what transpires. So, Joey, Joey found the Facebook page. Nice. So that's good.
Good, good.
Just filling everybody in.
Hey, Freddie, so that Aaron Rome, the guy who made that hit, he was suspended for the rest of the series.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So he's gone.
Yeah. 4 games.
Wow. That's pretty hefty.
That's what he deserved.
You think so?
Absolutely. Daniel Paille got suspended for 4 games during the season for a hit that was a lot less.
Do you think, though, if
that.
He hadn't gotten
and it was,
hurt?
And he deserved. Paille deserved to get.
If he hadn't suspended. Gotten hurt, would he have been suspended?
I mean, I think so. I think it was the epitome of what they're trying to crack down on.
Yeah. That's tough, though. I mean, you suspend the guy for the rest of the Stanley Cup
luckily
playoffs.
Luckily for them, he's a stiff.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's a swap that they'll take, Horton for that guy.
We're growing right before my eyes, Freddie. Now we're up to 15 new ads.
Yeah, now let me tell you this, too. Were you aware that Brady was on NFL Network this morning?
No.
I wasn't either.
What did he have
evidently,
say?
Chris Collinsworth says that he saw Brady on NFL Network this morning, and he sounded more optimistic. He sounded optimistic about the CBA. That would be awesome. Did not know that he was going to be appearing.
Well, he's a player rep. Maybe he's got some information.
Drew Rosenhaus also had some optimistic. He said he was more optimistic now than he has been at any time during the lockout. Not that an agent carries as much weight as Tom Brady.
The more people say that, the worse I feel now. I want them to be quiet. I don't want people to tell me how optimistic they are. I just want them to get it done. Just go, be quiet, get the job done. Then when you're done, come and present what's, you know, the new CBA to us. I don't need to hear everybody being optimistic. I just want to see results. So.
Where's the food?
Yeah, by the way.
It's calling right now.
Calling?
Calling?
Security's calling me.
Okay.
Oh.
Thank God. Hey, what do you think of USC being stripped?
They almost had to get the paddles out, Freddie.
Yeah. What do you think of USC being stripped of their 04 championship?
Apt.
Boy, Pete Carroll, though, man. Did he get out of Dodge just in time?
I've been telling you for years.
Yeah.
You can become a good coach when you cheat like that.
Wow. Do you think it was really him?
Do you think that he didn't have any knowledge of this stuff? Is that what you're asking
me? I don't know. I mean, wasn't it like all booster
clubs? It's just like Tressel at Ohio State.
Yeah.
The guys are all frauds.
Yeah.
Now, listen, I'm not saying that one's any worse than the other. The only difference between most of these guys is some of them get caught and some of them are lucky enough to skate.
Yeah.
I understand at that level, there's a lot of corrupt, programs out there. You can't be at that level consistently without those boosters doing these things for you. But I just never bought into the fact that Pete Carroll was different.
Right.
You know, and not because I didn't like Pete, because personally, I did like Pete. He was very good to us. He was a good guy to cover when he was here. I only did it for 1 year when he was here, but I liked Pete Carroll a lot. He was a very, very nice guy, and I enjoyed working for him. But I just never bought the fact that he was any different than, you know, Barry Switzer at Oklahoma. Sorry, strippers. Or any of these other renegades that go out there, you know, the Pony Express back in the 80s. These guys are all corrupt.
Yeah, well, I guess it's just the nature of the beast. I like Pete, too.
You know, maybe Joe Paterno is a different sort of guy. But I have to think that he's got guys behind the scenes breaking the rules for him, too.
All right. Let's see. Peter, right? What do you got, Kevin?
I got an interesting idea here.
Yeah?
From Darius for the pregame show.
This is on from Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, as these Pats fan clubs and such forth go to opposing stadiums to watch the game in a group and they gather in the stands as a group, he said, are we allowed to send in video of us going nuts at the game after the Patriots score a touchdown and such forth, and then you could post that video on the Facebook
page?
Well,
I'll tell you. Now, I'm putting it on the fans here in this one. I know for some this might be a little bit unrealistic, but if you had the technical know-how to put up a live feed from your bar and gave us the link, we would definitely put that up there. But that would be up to you to, like, you know, get an encoder and put up a camera and give us the link. It's really not that hard. We could show you how to do it. And then if you did that, we'd put the link up and definitely have a live feed from your bar. I think that would be pretty cool.
I think
cool.
Would be great. And I just, you know, responded back. Like, we would never, I mean, we're obviously not going to have a camera crew there, but if, you know, with cell phone technology these days being what it is, and most people have video capability.
Yeah.
They're allowed, you know, you'll be able to take video either at the stadium or at the bar.
Yeah, the problem with you sending us your video, now you're talking about large files and we have to put it somewhere and
we
everything.
You have to quality control it as well.
Yeah, so if you could send us a stream, you know, that would be awesome. That would be really cool. You know, let's check in with Denver, and we go over there, and you could even have a microphone. Maybe Skype. You know what? Maybe we set up Skype.
We could get a Skype account.
Yeah. I don't know. We have to think about this.
We have to brainstorm.
Yeah. Let's see. Peter writes in, hey, Paul and Fred, better known as the Tubby Twosome. Peter in Northern Ireland, as always, great off-season shows, truly keeping the flame alive, though I would piggyback on an email from last week and go with the keep or cut game. All you're taking into consideration is what Bill Belichick, head coach of New England Patriots, does, the best interest of the football team. So he has a keep or cut.
Keep or cut.
Mayo or Wilfork?
Whew. I think you have to go with Mayo because he's younger, right?
Yeah. Gronkowski or Branch?
Oh, that's easy. Gronkowski. Yeah. That one's easy.
Pat Chung or Jermaine Cunningham?
Pat Chung.
Yeah, I think so. He does a lot of things. And a doozy to end
these
with.
These are my keeps, by the way.
Yeah. And a doozy to end with, Eric Chaz Scalavino or Brandon Dr. Dre Merriweather? You're pausing.
I'll keep Chaz.
All right. As always, you guys rock. P.S. I would love a shout out for the American football team I've started to play for, the Craigavon Cowboys, who just knocked off a 5-1 team, putting us in the hunt for a wild card spot. Hoping you guys will cheer us on as we aim for the Shamrock Bowl.
All right.
Okay.
Rip it up.
Yeah.
Pull the Bruins from last night.
The Craigavon.
They got to win tomorrow night now. They can't follow that game up last night and lay an egg tomorrow night.
If they lose tomorrow night, it's obviously over.
Right. Yeah. They need tomorrow night is just as big as last night.
And I think the crowd will be. The crowd smells blood now. You know, don't you think?
Yeah.
They're nuts.
Yeah, they do. But, you know, it's hard to play with that much. It's hard to bring that kind of emotion every game. And I know it's the Stanley Cup Finals, and there's only, you know, at most, there's only four games left.
Here's what you do. If you're the Garden.
What do you do?
You cut the beer prices in half. That'll bring the emotion. Aaron says, who do you see the Pats bringing in at outside linebacker? Any chance that we give up the pick and take a chance for Kamanuka? Does Manny Lawson have the bulk to play outside linebacker in our system? Manny Lawson hasn't done much.
No, but he can play outside linebacker. I just, you know, these are guys that I wouldn't be opposed to taking a shot at one of those kinds of guys. You know, we've talked a lot about Eric Moore on this show. He's probably going to get a shot to play some outside linebacker. Listen, the more options you have, the more chances you have that somebody, you know, slips through the cracks and becomes a legitimate option. You know, like most of our listeners have been saying, you know, in 2001, not many people felt Mike Vrabel was going to be that guy. You know, Rob Ninkovich, you know, who knew anything about him? Now, is he a star? No, but his numbers last year weren't all that different than Mike Vrabel's in 2001 for the Patriots. And Vrabel had a good first year with the Patriots. Yep. He did a lot of things that rookie year.
Yep.
He played almost every down. You know, Ninkovich's stats really weren't that much different. Am I comparing the two? No. I'm just saying the more guys that you have like that, even though you might not know much about them, the Eric Moores of the world, if you can have four or five of those guys and bring them in, and then Bill can sort of evaluate them, chances are he's going to find one. He says, you know what? This guy might have something. Maybe that's Eric Moore.
Yep.
Who knows? Eric Moore didn't play a lot standing up last year. He played mostly as a down defensive end, but I got to think that he has the body type and the athleticism to play outside linebacker. And I know that the reports from the workouts last week, Freddie, you know, the player-only workouts, said that Eric Moore was kind of working as a stand-up outside linebacker. So I would be surprised if he wasn't in that kind of mix if and when we ever get to see these guys at training camp.
Kamani says he can't find PFW on Facebook. He said, I searched PFW. It didn't come up. Can you give me another keyword? I mean, just try typing the whole thing in, PFW in progress.
I would go Perillo.
Other people are finding
that for
it, no
keyword.
Problem. So,
how about Cadillac Crime Fighter?
Yeah.
Can we use that as your keyword?
Cadillac Crime Fighter?
What was your thing that you...
Jake Steele, the Cadillac Crime Fighter.
Right, okay. You looked at me like you didn't know what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, here comes...
food.
Kevin with the food. It's a light order today. Only two of us here.
I have knives right here. I just need a fork. No, no cookies today, huh? Oh, all right. Coming later.
Oh, he's making two trips. Let's see. More emails. Emails coming in here. The flame is alive here in Gillette Stadium.
Eric's not here.
No.
Oh, sorry.
Well, we don't know if he's
alive.
That
was Andy-like. I apologize.
He could have been thrown over by now. I, you know, he could be chum.
Well, the fact that he hasn't called in yet, he said he was going to try to call in.
Yeah, I am worried about that. You know, he might have a big one on the line.
Right.
You never know.
I think Josh Boyer may have just thrown him over.
Let's see. This person says, hey, Fred. Hey, guys, it's Fred Bone from Virginia. I listen to you guys every day, but this is the first time I'm listening live. Well, welcome. I just wanted you guys to discuss the current roster by position as you see it developing. I'll tell you how I feel, and you guys can agree or disagree.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Offense, QB, Brady Hoyer, and Mallett.
I agree.
Good to go, nothing needed. So he says QB's all set.
I agree.
All right.
I think it's going to get a little bit harder from here on in.
Running back or halfback, as he says. I feel Ben Jarvis is a solid back. Woodhead is fine on third down. And if the rookie backs have the same impact as the tight ends from last year, we are looking real good. I think that's safe to say.
Yeah, that's four.
Now, Kevin Falk was at the mini camp.
Yep, he was.
At Boston College.
Correct.
So, indication
not,
that...
Not mini camp, player-only workouts.
Well, I'm calling it a mini camp.
I know what you're calling them. I don't want to deceive the listeners into thinking that there was a mini camp.
So there's an indication there that Falk is going to give it another go. That doesn't mean he won't retire just before camp, as a lot of these guys do.
He says he's still deciding.
Yeah, we'll see.
He wants to put himself in a position where he has an option.
Yeah. Wide receiver. Welker is a great slot receiver. I'm not sure what to make of the rest. Branch, Edelman, and Tate. They are all pretty good, but nothing special. I think we need a big receiver. Sidney Rice is a lot better than most people think. I would be stoked if we could get him. I don't want Ocho, but would take Randy back for cheap. I think we talked about that earlier. I think we kind of agree with that.
I want no part of Randy Moss. I don't agree with that.
I would much rather
have Ocho.
But we agree
than Randy
Moss. They need a better receiver.
Yeah,
they need like a number one type
real,
of receiver.
They're not real deep at that spot. I agree.
Tight end, no needs here as they are great. I think with
but wait a minute, what did we end up having for wide receivers? We said Welker, Branch, Tate, Price,
Edelman.
Yep. Yeah, I'm good with that.
Tight ends, no need. They're great. I think with the tight ends being so good, it helps the wide receiver position a lot. Well, it absolutely does. If we didn't have the tight ends that we have, we'd really be bemoaning what we have at wide receiver, I believe.
Well, I think Hernandez helps the wide receivers because I think Hernandez really is a wide receiver. I think the other guys are tight ends. That's a
right.
different kind of thing. But I think Hernandez can operate in space and serve as a guy that can create mismatches for you.
Exactly.
Against defensive backs.
Yep.
You know, I think Gronk is a guy who is, I think, in a lot of ways more gifted than Hernandez. Maybe not as traditional athletic terms.
He can
terms,
do more things at that position.
But I think he's more gifted. Yeah. I think he can do a lot of things. But, yeah, he's a guy that I think is more of a traditional tight end, gets down the seam, too fast for linebackers, too big for safeties.
And that's the key here. And I think that kind of hits a nail on the head when I'm thinking of the wide receiver. When you look at Hernandez and you look at Gronkowski and to a certain extent Welker, they can create matchups at their mismatches at their positions. Beyond that, when you talk about Branch nowadays and Edelman and obviously Price.
Did Branch like steal your milk money or something?
No, but
what's the matter?
They have a hard time creating mismatches, and you need that receiver that can do that. You know, obviously Moss, when he's right, he's a mismatch all day long. But they need a guy who can create mismatches at the wide receiver position, is my opinion. All right, so it's 107. It's a good time to take a break. We got more emails coming in. We'll get to them right after this.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from BeCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast, and it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Braves!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts are too tight in the seat.
That was Eric on the boat as they were pulling out from the dock. Eric is out fishing with Josh Boyer, coach of the Patriots today. So he'll have a story about that later on for Patriots.com and probably PFW when we come out with our next issue. So,
oh, I think it'll be PFW. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
He better be.
Yep.
Well, he's in a lot of trouble.
Right. Because, you know, we're kind of looking for good stuff to write about these days. You know, it's a little bit tough. Web radio at pages.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the phone number. We're talking about a lot of things. A lot of Jake Steele, Cadillac Crime Fighter, illustrations up on the PFW Facebook page. Go to Facebook and search for PFW and find it. And you can see that. One is a whole comic strip. So I haven't really read the comic strip yet. I don't know how it ends, but a lot of people.
So you don't, even though you lived it, you don't know how it ends?
No, I don't know how the comic ends. So yeah. A lot of people taking their artistic talents to Jake Steele.
None of them are Eric, though, huh?
Cadillac Crime Fighter. Nathan from Southern Cal says, wanted to let you know that I have the Android Incredible and service from Verizon and your PFW in Progress live stream is working fine right now, sucker. Anyway, thought I'd give you feedback because we've had some difficulty in the past. So, Chris Ferreira, I hope you're listening. The Android Incredible on Verizon is working. So maybe that's some info you can send over to Verizon. So whatever they're doing to allow it to work on the Incredible, they need to do the same for their other devices. really not Verizon device. That's one of the things that, you know, is so confusing. The Verizon is the carrier, and then, you know, the Incredible is, I don't know who makes that, HTC or Samsung, and then you've got, all the other models that come out. And that's the good thing about Apple. You have the iPhone. That's it. It's just one phone. It's not a million different models.
Well, you have a service too, right?
Well, you got Verizon or but it works. It just works.
No, I mean, I understand that it works, but isn't it the same thing? You have whatever the device is plus a service provider.
Yeah, but when it comes to Android, there's like 20 different Android phones out there. And then on those phones, you have Verizon, you have AT&T, you have T-Mobile. They work on, every time you do that, you're factoring in all these different combinations, and it's hard for a developer. I wish they would just standardize everything when it comes to how they handle streams and content and all that. It would make it easy for us. Right now, it's very difficult. It's frustrating. So I want all fans to have the same experience. Let's see. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Anthony in Naples is on the line. Hey, Anthony.
Jeez, what's going on, guys?
Oh, you know, we're talking about everything here.
I feel like there's a little lull in your voice, Fred. Like, you know, it's definitely the middle of the summer and just kind of struggling a little bit to what to talk about. Am I right?
A little bit. I mean, there's some topics out there, but, like you said, it's not as exciting as we'd like it to be at this time of year. We should be talking about what just happened in minicamp and the rookies and free agent possibilities and all this stuff, and we can't.
Yeah, I could do 2 hours in the Bruins, but I don't think you guys would like it.
What's the dateline right now? Is in like the next date that's coming up that's pretty vital, and hopefully something can be done before that.
There's a ruling based on Friday stuff that should be coming out, any time now. And then was there anything this week? I'm not sure if there was another thing this week. Well, the NFL has filed a motion to dismiss the Brady lawsuit. But other than that, I think mid-July is like the next court thing. And,
More importantly,
we can't wait until then.
Are there any more secret meetings that everybody knows about?
Not that
I'm aware of.
No,
but that's right. But I do get your I got you the tenor of that, and I agree with it. If you're really having secret meetings, people don't know about them,
right?
I know that
much like the player only workouts that all the media attended.
And you guys made a great point. Jerry Jones coming in with this big star on his plane. It's like, ooh, where's Jerry going? We don't know,
right?
Is kind of silly. But I called up because I thought about it a couple of times about the UFC. And this isn't like scientific proof, but I think you guys are wrong on your theory. As in UFC, you get more damage. And there's been a couple of articles. Now it could have been MMA related, or people back in MMA. So you never know how things are, are motivated by. But they actually brought a good point. Where you got to look at boxing, you guys are actually looking at it wrong. Where the gloves they hurt you more in boxing than they do in MMA. And the reason being is because the gloves are so much bigger and more padding that it doesn't knock you out directly. So the research has shown that actually your brain tends to bounce around a little bit, which causes more damage later on.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that,
MMA, if you really think about it, it's more or less more of like 50% of it, it's more about the ground game. Yeah, sometimes they do stand up and box. Yeah, you get your occasional elbow. But if it hits you directly, you're knocked out. That's it. You don't suffer more damage, if that makes sense.
Yep. No, I mean, in a boxing match, you're right. You can have continued blows to the head, whereas in MMA, you might get one foot, one good blow, with a fist, and that
match is over.
Yeah.
You don't continuously get that damage like you do with boxing.
Right.
And that's why, like, if you see a lot of boxes, especially later on, you ever see Frazier? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my
horrible.
God.
Yeah.
I remember, I'll never forget as a kid, I was a big Muhammad Ali fan. And after that first fight against Frazier that Ali lost, they showed in Sports Illustrated Frazier's face after the match, and I can't believe this guy won the match. I mean, yeah. Muhammad Ali just made his face look like, you know, it was just like bumps everywhere.
Yeah, and think about what his brain looks like bouncing around in there with all those hits that showed up in his face.
Right. Well, just listen to Frazier now. You know, he can barely talk.
Yeah, and there's always like a touch of crazy with older boxers too, if you ever noticed it.
Yep.
You know.
But, yeah. No, I mean, boxing is absolutely brutal, and I really don't have much to say either way on this because I'm not really much into it either way, boxing or MMA. I've never really been a huge fan. The only thing I would say is let's see, you know, 25, 30 years from now, some of these MMA guys and what they'd sound like.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, there wasn't, you know, there wasn't any MMA fights in the Garden in 1970. Like, you know, I totally agree with you, Anthony. Frazier, I mean, he's so punch drunk, you know. But all of these guys are like that. You're absolutely right.
But, you know, and with MMA, there's also the other thing where, you know, you can take a guy's legs out from under him and then you fall on your head. I think the longer MMA goes on, the more chances there are for real severe injuries.
That's part of my point. It's so new. Let's see what happens with these different kinds of injuries.
And guys will get bigger.
And then let's see what the long-term, you know, ramifications are.
Right. You know, they'll have...
Also keep in mind, guys, that, you know, judo and the separate martial arts have been around for a while in the Olympics. So, you know, I think that probably would have been brought to attention, you know what I mean, the type of head injuries caused by those sports.
But that's different, man. You can't compare what they do in the Olympics to what they do in the octagon. You know, it's a different mentality. It really is.
I don't know, Fred. I think it's just more or less, it seems more violent, the MMA, because it's just like, you know, it's a spectacle. It's a monthly event, you know, and you do get the riffraff that, like, love it because of, like, the blood and the violence. You see, it's more bloody than you would see in the Olympics. But not for nothing, you know, you still get a pound into the head, like, when you see the stuff in the Olympics.
Yeah. No, you do. But,
you know.
I still think I'd like to ask someone who has done it and see what they think. But I think it's much more brutal in MMA.
Hmm. Yeah, to each his own. I kind of differ with that.
I really don't know.
Yeah, once you take the hit, that's it. Hey, but is Eric there?
No, he's fishing with Josh Boyer.
Who's that?
He's one of the Patriots coaches.
Cornerback's coach.
So,
really?
Yeah, he went out on a fishing trip this morning with him, and he's going to write a story about it.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if he can give me a good deal on a paint-by-numbers sketching for my bride.
Wow. Oh, you mean a real one?
Yeah. However he does it.
Well, if you're willing to wait like 10 years, he might get something done for you because it takes him a long time to do these things.
I'm hoping to ask now because we're not getting married for 2 years.
Oh, okay.
So hopefully.
Yeah, you got a shot.
You should get it before the divorce.
Yeah.
No. All right, guys.
Anthony, thanks for the call.
Yeah, I don't really know, you know, the whole MMA box. I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of studies out there that show it. And it makes sense. I mean, it's not a constant pounding of the head
right. In
MMA like there would be in boxing. But, you know, I just...
Do you watch it, Paul, at all?
No. I'm not really interested in it.
I have no interest in it.
I'm not a huge boxing fan either. Now,
I've heard it's one
when
of those
When there's, like, you know, you get the really big-time fights,
like,
you know, back in the day, you know, when Tyson would fight or, you know... You know, the Holy Fit. I would get into that. I would watch that. I don't really have much interest in watching. And some of these guys are great fighters, the smaller guys.
Yeah.
I don't really have any interest
in it. I've heard it's one of those things, though. Like, some people equate it with hockey, where if you watch it live and in person, it's much better.
Yeah, I have gone once.
I've never been to
one. Who did I see? Was it Gotti I saw a fight? Turo Gotti in, I can't remember. Buddy McGirt, maybe?
Yeah. See, I love a good boxing
back
match.
Back in the Madison Square Garden, it was kind of cool to be there live.
But Fred comes from a wrestling, fighting background.
So, well, he,
so he has
you know,
a greater
he,
appreciation
he,
for
it. I think you should just put the singlet on all the time, not just from the Cadillac.
How do you know I don't have it under my
well,
clothes
it's
right
not
now?
On the outside.
If I had to make a quick change in a phone booth, I got to have it on.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I want it on all the time,
you
not
should,
just in the Cadillac.
Instead of phone booths like Superman or whatever, Freddie, you should change in radio studios.
Change in radio
there
studios?
You go.
Okay. All right. How about I go under the hood of the replay machine on the sideline for the NFL? I come out as Jake Steele
with the mask,
Cadillac crime fighter. Neil in Glasgow says, hey, Fred, Paul, and Eric, who's not here, first time emailer, so don't want to get on the wrong side of angry Chaz. Looks like I'll be heading over for the Chiefs Monday night game in November for a week and was wondering what you guys reckon, A, of there being a game then, and B, whether it'd be better to stay in Boston or near Gillette. First time in the USA and going to be there for Thanksgiving, what would you guys recommend to do in the city on Turkey Day? Love the show on my iPhone app, and I'm listening illicitly in work, and keep up the good work. Here's what I would suggest. So if you're coming in the week before the game, I would stay in Boston. You stay in Boston. There's so much to do. It's right there. You don't need to drive around. You can walk everywhere. So that'd be good. But then if you can, I would then get a hotel room Saturday night right here at the stadium. Come to Patriot Place Saturday morning. Spend the day at Patriot Place. Go to a restaurant. Maybe take in a show at the Showcase Live. And then just literally walk to the game Sunday morning. Or is it a Chiefs game?
I think you said it was a Monday night.
Is it a Monday night game? Okay, well, whatever. So then comes Sunday and, you know, stay over Sunday night. But you get my drift. So then you just walk to the game. You don't have to worry about the traffic on game day if you can. Now, I know that the hotel prices get pretty steep on game day. But yeah, if it's your vacation, it might be worth it.
It's probably one of those things where it's like you know you're spending a little bit too much money, but it's worth it in the long run.
Yeah.
You got to treat yourself if it's your vacation anyway.
Plus, just for the convenience.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so you get your room Sunday night here at Patriot Place.
If you want to get liquored up, you don't have to worry about it.
Right.
Which is the best part of the whole thing.
So that would be great.
That's Fred's phone going off.
Yeah, that's my phone going off.
He's trying to get it.
It's unknown. That's bad news.
Oh, no. We're in trouble.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the phone number here. And let's see. What's this? Christy. Oh, Christy from PR.
She's helping me.
Oh, she's helping you.
With the photo.
So why is she sending emails to Web Radio?
I have no idea. Maybe she's trying to talk to me. I'll look at it.
So PR's involved in the Jake Steele illustrations now?
Christy's helping me with the uploader because this computer, for some reason, is very slow uploading pictures.
That's not good. Let's see.
Why, you're afraid that people are going to see them now?
Nah, yeah. They'll see our nonsense. Webradiopages.com. Let's see. Mike writes in, and he says, hey, guys, I'm getting ready to fly to Georgia. Not looking forward to it. Mike's in the military. About the new rules to make the game safer, I wanted to list some hits that were called and fined but should have been legal. One is Brace getting Favre in the jaw. He hit the chest, but momentum pushed his helmet up. Remember that one?
Yep, I agree.
You think it should have been legal?
That was okay with me.
Two, Wilfork sacking Fitzpatrick. He drove him into the ground. What is that? It's a 320-pound defensive tackle running full speed at the quarterback.
I'd have to see that one.
See, I didn't like that one either.
I don't remember that one.
I agree with Mike on that one. And three, I can't remember the specifics, but McCourty made a nice hit to knock the ball out of the receiver's hand, and he was penalized.
I don't remember that one either.
Yeah. It has gotten to the point where I don't get excited about a play in defense until after it has been confirmed that there are no penalties. I have just started expecting that whenever the defense makes a play, it's sickening.
Yeah, that's the point that I was trying to make last week, is every time there's a failed third down now in the NFL, my first reaction is, don't get too excited. There's probably a penalty.
Yeah, it's like a long run back in special teams. You're looking for the flag.
Whatever team I'm rooting for, I automatically don't get excited because I just assume there's got to be something coming back. Now, on run backs, you see, I mean, as it happens, generally the flag happens right where the guy makes the first move. That's where the penalties occur. So those, I don't look at those the same way. But it's the calls that happen on the other side of the field on a failed third down, and or the guy goes across the middle and the pass is high, deflects off the hand, and here comes the hit, and then you're like that, you know, split second or two where you're like, you brace yourself. Is the flag coming? There it is.
Yep.
You know it's coming.
Adam in Connecticut. Hey, big head shoulders. Chaz Palminteri, tough guy, Italian actor, known for mafia roles. And Paul, sorry, I don't know his nickname yet. I'm still a new listener.
That's okay.
I can't listen live since I'm at work, so I have to download the podcast. This makes it difficult to email and talk about a current topic being covered on the show. The first time I ever emailed was during the Cock and Take episode. I got a little out of hand. So I'll ask my question in hopes that it's not going against the current flow of the show. We don't have a flow. We're all over the place. Somebody calling again.
Yeah, you might want to put your phone on silent mode.
I know, but I think it's somebody from upstairs.
Cock and Take.
So I'll ask my question in hopes that it's not going against the current flow of the show. If you could have your pick of any player in the NFL, which defensive system, in your opinion, is the best and why? The 3-4-1 gap, 3-4-2 gap, 4-3-1 gap, or 4-3-2 gap? So which is the best defensive system?
I like attacking 3-4s.
Like the Steelers?
Yeah. I think if the Steelers had better play in the secondary, they'd be virtually impossible to score on. Now, you could argue, you know, when you play like that, you're leaving your cornerbacks on an island, so no matter how good you are,
right,
you know, it'd be hard to cover. But I think they have, in my opinion, they have inferior players, Ike Taylor, McFadden, guys like that, or the William Gay this past year.
Right.
I think if they had Devin McCourty or Champ Bailey in his prime, Darrell Revis, I think they'd be virtually impossible to score against.
All right, Kevin, let's take a quick break so I can see who's calling me. It could be word that the lockout's over. So.
Oh, that's a good point.
Let me. We'll be right back.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker. Yeah, let's go again. To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit verizonwireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I had this dream. I was in this, it was sort of like a cafeteria setting with big glass windows, and a lot of people there were people that we worked with and like on the travel party. So we're looking, and there's this weather coming, and it's like dark clouds, and it turns into this tornado. So I'm like, everybody get away from the windows. We get away from the windows, and trees are coming down, but luckily nothing happened. So then that passes, and then we decide that, okay, dinner is coming soon, but a lot of us wanted to work out after dinner, so we're gonna, so this cafeteria turns into a hotel. And now a lot of us have to go up in the elevator to get our gym stuff, because after we eat, we're gonna work out. So we get in the elevator, and it's a bunch of people, and one of them's Gino. And Gino has no pants on, Gino Capoletti. And his unit is attached to his hip.
Hello.
And it was like,
hello.
It was like a weird deformity, like that no one knew, ever knew about, but there it was. It's like, and my thoughts going through my mind was, how does he like explain that to women?
Why are you having dreams about Gino's unit?
Thanks, it was attached to his hip.
I don't care where it's attached. Why are you thinking about his unit?
I don't know. I don't know. It was just a weird dream.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
Next week, you're going to tell Gino this story, right? Please.
No. And you better not bring it up either. All right, back here in PFW in progress.
Oldie but a goodie.
You know what? It really is.
Paul and Fred, well, where else do you
so
to
bizarre.
Talk about people's units
so
attached to their hip?
Bizarre.
Paul and Fred here. Eric's out fishing.
We're still on the air, so that's a good sign, Freddie.
Right, with one of the Patriots coaches, Josh Boyer. Andy's taking one of his summer days off.
He's going to be missing Tuesday shows for a while.
Yeah, he's, I don't know.
Which I'm not real happy with.
No, it's kind of dumb planning, I think. So anyway, we're here. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, webradio at patriots.com. I did answer the phone call. It was nothing more than someone looking to find out our Twitter and Facebook numbers.
So as far as we know, lockout's still
lockout's
in
still
place.
Going on. Bill writes in, hey, guys, I'm Chaz. And he loves Chaz. He loves that name.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, that's good. A few things after listening to last week's show. Fred, I want to thank you for completely blinding my mind's eye when I pictured you in your superhero wrestling onesie with your back hair erupting out of the back of it. Oh, but he forgets that I man groom.
Oh, that's true.
I take care of that.
It's called manscaping. That's what it's called.
Yeah, but he has the man groomer.
I have the man groomer.
Oh, really?
That's how yeah. that's what he does with
but
it.
But it is
manscaping. Yeah.
Manscaping.
It absolutely manscaping.
You manscape with a yep. man groomer. There you go.
Also, he has a question for Andy, which since Andy's not here, but Andy and Eric in the closet on the road trip, I don't know what that's all about. Anyway.
That's up to them.
Now on to my question. If we miss regular season games due to the lockout situation, is it possible that they extend the season by however many games? I don't think so. I think they could extend it 1 week. I heard that.
Yeah.
But that in by doing that, you would lose that week in between the Super Bowl. But when it comes to the Super Bowl, I think that's your hard and fast deadline.
Well, I thought
because
that
you
they,
can't shift that.
I thought that they went through some steps to garner hotels
oh, is that
and
right?
all that stuff for the week after. But, yeah, I mean, there's a difference. I agree with you, Fred. There's a difference between missing games and missing a game a week. I think once you get beyond a game or two, you games are going to get –
right.
Canceled, not
right.
postponed.
You can only extend the season so far because, like you said, okay, let's say that they, you know, reserve blocks of rooms for the week after. You know how expensive it is to do that?
Yeah.
I mean, the hotels aren't just going to say, okay, we just won't rent out our hotel for the week after the Super Bowl in case you need it. I mean, you basically have to take over a city when you have a Super Bowl.
Exactly.
And that's not easy to, like, just postpone a week.
And you know what? It's just there's no need for it. There's no rational explanation as to why this cannot get done.
Paul, if this wasn't a family, if this wasn't a family show, I'd swear.
Well,
because that's how upset I get when I think about how.
And I know you don't even have to be upset to swear in the show. You've done it many times.
You know,
but there's no reason for this not to get done before this. You know, any games are in jeopardy, and I don't think they will. I think they'll play 16 games.
Darius writes in, I think that getting rid of Branch would not be best, even if they got an outside receiver.
I agree.
I always thought that it would have been great had they kept Moss and still picked up Branch. Here's why I say that. Moss obviously would have vertically stretched the field, but what Branch would have been able to do that I feel he does better than Welker is run the deep dig routes, plus 10 yards or more.
Yes.
So he
You're
gets
right.
you. He
That's
gets
a
you,
good point.
He gets you the 10 plus yards with the catch. Welker catches most passes under 10 yards and then uses his athletic skills with
that,
the run after
that
the
catch.
That
is true. That is one subtle difference between their two abilities.
So Moss up top, Branch 10 to 15, Welker underneath. So I see room for an outside receiver with Branch and Welker. Add any combination of their tight ends in Vereen, Woodhead, or Falk, and that can cause any defense matchup headaches.
Yeah,
that's not a bad point, Darius.
Yeah, they have they are going to create matchup headaches. They have a lot of different and diverse offensive options, and as long as Tom Brady is standing upright to get the ball to them, which we have no reason to think that that won't be the case, even though there's some turmoil up front with the offensive line, I think they're going to be a tough team to defend again, just like they were last year.
Yep.
And have been, really, you know, for the last several years.
508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. Derek from the University of Arizona. Hey, Derek, you out of school? You're out of school right now, right?
Yeah, I've been out for a while, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Derek.
I haven't called in a while, but just haven't had any real Patriots questions and didn't want to piss off any of the listeners. So.
You don't need to have Patriots questions. As a matter of fact, we encourage the questions to not be about the Patriots.
Who was the last emailer that just you guys were just talking
Darius,
about?
Darius, I think. Is that Darius?
About Darius? The branch?
About Branch and the outside receiver?
About Branch. Yeah. I thought that was a great point. I think Deion Branch runs a great intermediate route. And, to Welker, runs the shorter route. But,
even though they're both very effective slot guys, I do think there's some subtle differences, and that's one of them. Is Branch tends to run off the coverage and catch that dig route.
I've been missing the first few, half an hour of the show the last few weeks just because it's 9 o'clock here, and let's be honest, I'm not making any promises to get up at 9 during the summer. So
you'll have very few of those.
Yeah, right?
No, most of the Patriots games are at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, I still listen to every show, and I just wanted to see what was going on with you guys. And I have just like two quick questions for you, or actually a comment and a question. My first comment is I'm really excited for this pregame show idea. I think it's going to be a really good addition to the whole, kind of Patriots Nation, and I'm really excited to see how that materializes and develops because I think it can be really exciting on game days.
We are too.
We're very excited about it too. Like we said, we're still trying to figure out how to best present it, but yeah, it's something that Fred and I have talked about for a lot of years, and then we came up with this sort of format this this spring, and we are excited about
it. And I'm excited because I finally found a way to give Paul and Andy something to do on Sundays.
Right.
They finally have to work right on Sunday. Yeah.
So I'm really excited and looking forward to that. The other thing is I'm not sure if you guys covered it, so I apologize if you did.
Probably
but,
not.
But the whole Plaxico Burress thing, I didn't know if you guys had talked about him, but I'm kind of asking you guys this question, and then, any of the listeners who want to, throw in their two cents. I mean, who would you rather have if you had to pick one of them? Would you rather trade for Steve Smith and Ocho Cinco, or would you try to sign, Chad Johnson or Randy Moss? Steve Smith. We got Steve Smith, Chad Ochocinco, Plaxico Burress, or Randy Moss. You gotta take one. Which one are you gonna take?
Of those four, I'll take Steve Smith.
Me too. I would go to Chad Ochocinco.
Okay. All right. Well, that's just where I was.
We did talk, Derek, a little bit early in the show. We talked about Plax.
Thanks for the call, Derek.
Freddie thinks that, it's worth kicking the tires. I agree with that aspect of it. I'm not overly interested in signing him. I think this, at 33, I think he's a little bit past, the prime. My worries with him is that he's always been somewhat disruptive with his team. And doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that is going to come in here and keep his nose clean and just get in that playbook and learn the, I mean, he's a talented guy. I don't think it'd be a tragedy if they signed him, but I'd rather not.
Fred from Nova Scotia writes in, thought I would let you guys know that I've scored some tickets to the Man U game next month. The family is pretty excited. By the way, who's the guy that's here? Dennis
Irwin?
Dennis Irwin.
I don't know.
Is here from Manchester United. In the stadium today.
You ask me like I know these guys.
They got really juiced when I told them that we would be staying at your house, Fred. Oh, really? I am going to need Andy to pick us up at the airport, as I assume Paul will be back at your place working the grill. I'm looking forward to hanging with you guys for a few days.
Right,
I was wondering if you could send along your home addresses and phone numbers before we head down. I will send down my food order for the day you are planning on having me on the show. So... Well, I'm glad you got tickets to Manchester United, Fred, but I will not be seeing you. P.S. Have not been able to listen live on the website since you updated your site. Don't know what changed with the streaming. Well, send webmaster at patriots.com what type of device you're using, what type of carrier you have, and we'll see if we can help you out. So G4 Driver writes in, hey, guys, it has to be a slow day when Eric is fishing and Paul is talking Bruins. Paul, I could talk about the Bruins for 2 hours, but I don't think you'd like that. How's that for perception? Fred says, good, Paul, good. So you want to talk Bruins now? All right, so that's a little script that G4's Driver wrote. He's
I just assume that, you know, yeah. I might be the only one interested. Although Phil in Nova Scotia says that there's a huge Boston sports fan population.
I've noticed a lot of our PFW followers here on Facebook have changed their profile to something Bruins related. So we're not, you know, I don't think we're out of line talking about it.
No.
It's a big story.
No, but, you know, we dabble in it. We dabble in it. Let's see. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Mark and Fall River's on the line. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how you doing, Fred?
Good.
I was just calling because I wanted to talk a little bit about what went on last week with the with the training, the guys getting together. I'm sorry if I'm off topic. I haven't had a chance to listen yet today.
There's no, nothing off topic.
Yeah, there is nothing off topic.
I should know that after listening for
exactly.
as long as I have. I was just kind of wondering, a lot of people have been talking about playbooks and all this stuff, and I know that Brady was there last week, and Mayo and Will Fork, and they have a pretty good idea of the system that the Patriots run, but kind of was wondering as far as what do the guys have to do with the playbooks at the end of the season? Do they have anything from last year? What's kind of the particulars of it?
I to be honest with you, that's a good question. I don't know exactly what they do. I am under the impression, Freddie, that they turn in their playbooks at mm-hmm. the end of a season. I don't know if that is 100% accurate.
I'm pretty sure, but in his mind, Brady has the whole playbook.
But that's not necessarily a good – that's an extreme.
Right.
Brady doesn't really need the playbook.
But he was running the offense during the minicamp, and, you know, so based on all the knowledge he has, he knew how to run that practice.
Oh, definitely, yeah. And I wouldn't question that at all. I guess part of my other question, and we can tell how hard it is with the lockout because we're grasping at straws, but, I mean, was he sitting in the sand drawing the plays out, you know what I mean?
Oh, no, I think what they do, and I wasn't there, so I can't tell you exactly how they operated, but my guess would be that they ran some basic formations and basic plays, introduced them especially to the rookies and younger guys that may not be as familiar, but what you want to do there is get the terminology down, get the play sequencing. You know, for a guy like Ryan Mallett, for example, he understands now how the Patriots go about calling their plays. And, it might sound like a simple thing, but every team has its own language and their terminology. So I think that's important. You know, the cadence, the structure, the adjustments and things like that, that's all going to come as time goes on. But right now, I think it was good to have the young guys sort of listen to Tom and the veterans and kind of get an idea of how the Patriots go about calling their plays.
Yeah, and that's a good point, too, because I know just from reading some of the things, I believe a few people said, a few of the players said it was nice just to hear the plays.
Yeah, I think Benny said that, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. Now, this is, he's going into his fourth year now, right? So, I mean, even for a guy who's been around a little bit, that stuff is important. So in that regard, I think it was valuable. I just don't know how much benefit that you're going to get out of the entire process.
Yeah, and it's interesting to hear all the people who were saying when they weren't getting together how it wasn't all that beneficial. But now that last week happened, all of a sudden it's pretty beneficial for them to get together.
Right. Whereas
it's better than nothing.
It was better than nothing. I agree.
All right, Mark. Thanks for the call. Mark from Fall River.
He's right, though, because when the Saints and the Jets and everybody were doing it, it was like, we don't need that. And then all of a sudden we did it. And it was like, how great is this that, all these guys from all over the country come here and what the power of Brady. I'm like, really? I mean, you guys thought it wasn't a big deal a month and a half ago. And now all of a sudden it's important. At least I didn't think it was important ever. I made fun of the Jets and the Saints.
Josh from Waterloo, Iowa writes in, hello guys of porn-friendly webcast in progress. PFW, porn-friendly webcam.
I got it, Fred.
I don't know if anybody told you, but four guys sitting around looking at porn makes for really boring and uncomfortable radio. Good thing
it's
Paul,
one of those things like pornography. You know it when you see it or hear it.
Good thing Paul wasn't flying during the show, or he would have cut the hydraulic lines himself. And since I am ripping the show, Kevin needs to go back and listen to some of the shows Gary produced. His drop-ins were perfect and made the show much, much better. In all the years I listened, I can only remember hearing his voice a couple times. So little, in fact, a lady emailed asking for Gary just to say a few things because
I remember that.
She thought his voice was sexy.
I remember that. Remember we used to make fun of Gary for playing solitaire, too?
Right. And he did. And for a public service announcement, don't listen for the sound of the tornado to run down the stairs. By then, you will be tapping your red shoes together and dodging flying monkeys.
No, I know. That's why I was worried about that night.
The order is watch for storms to appear, warning you that one is coming. And the sound of the tornado means kiss your ass goodbye. You are probably going to die.
Because it's like a mile wide, right? Yeah. It's not like...
Well, they can be, yeah.
Particularly with someone with the expert elite athleticism as myself.
I never
probably not going to be able to outrun it.
I never realized that you guys don't have to worry about them. Living in Tornado Alley, you deal with them as a part of life, but they still scare the crap out of you.
Yeah, I was. I mean, I'm glad that they sent that email because I was really thinking of that. Like, how quickly do I have to get my son downstairs?
Right.
You know, I wasn't thinking running away from the tornado. I was thinking trying to run for cover.
Did you check out the NASA picture? They had NASA sent a picture from a satellite. There was a satellite image, and you could see the path that the tornado took from all the trees and the homes it destroyed.
Yeah.
And it was like a gray stripe across Massachusetts.
Wow.
That was 39 miles long.
Earlier in the show, I told people to email webmaster@patriots.com with their technical questions. Chris Ferreira corrects me. It's web@patriots.com, not webmaster, just web@patriots.com.
Kick his ass, Chris.
So Chris always diligent.
Screwing up as usual, Fred Kirsch.
He's like Watchmen. He just watches over the show, makes sure that things are going right. And a lot of emails going back and forth between web radio and PR, getting all those Jake Steele photos.
They're all up there.
They're all up there.
Christy just sent me an email. They're all up there.
On the PFW Facebook page, Jake Steele Cadillac Crime Fighter illustrations are up there.
And a special thanks to Christy for helping me out, too, because his computer's terrible.
You're having trouble with the computer.
It's just it wouldn't upload the photos. It wouldn't let me upload the photos for some reason. I don't know if it's the connection or the file was too big or what the deal was.
Oh, that's not good. Let's see. Yeah. Fat Pat writes in with a non-football topic. I'm going to stay on protocol, of course, with a non-football topic, maybe something Big Head would have liked. On the topic of hot weather girls, check out Jackie Garrido. Not only is she a hot weather girl, but she may just be the hottest woman on TV. So drop
where
that squeaky toy sound bite pronto. No, Kevin is not doing drops today. He's very busy on Facebook. Talking to people on Facebook, doing things, right?
Absolutely. Exactly. I was just making sure the photos are the newest thing. They were posted 4 minutes ago, so they're up there.
Okay, good.
Good, good. Didn't you just hear that the email say not to talk on, you talk too much?
Yeah, whatever.
You talk too much.
With only two guys, sometimes you, when you, especially when you guys are eating your lunch and you're both mid-bite, and there's nobody to talk.
There was no dead air. Anytime I'm involved in a show, there's no dead air on it.
You don't get enough airtime.
Daniel writes
exactly
in.
Exactly right.
I only get to listen live once a week as me and the dog have to commute to Boston for summer classes. I overheard you guys talking about receivers and was curious about the chance of Taylor Price starting this year. I hadn't seen a lot of him, and I wonder if he's farther along than Tate. Also, I forget who said that there should be less play-by-play in commentary. While I agree there should be more analysis, I don't usually pull this card. Not everyone can see everything that's going on.
I think that's in relation to coverage in the paper. What we do, just to let everybody know, is we have a box that we put, we call it How They Scored. And every scoring drive is sort of detailed. Not every single play, but you know the key plays on a scoring drive are detailed. So if you do miss something, you can go back and sort of read play by play exactly what happened. I think that most people, especially in a newspaper like ours, maybe they didn't see the game, but they know what happened in the game.
They know what happened.
If they're passionate enough about the Patriots, that they are subscribers to Patriots Football Weekly, by the time they get our paper, they know what happened in the game. So for us to sort of recap play-by-play in a game story, I think is
right.
Kind of counterintuitive.
Right. Peter writes in, just tuned in. I hope you haven't already spoken about this, but Welker was the second of five Patriots to make the list.
Yeah, number 50.
Of the top 100, and there are 40 players to go. Firstly, do you think West should have been higher? I reckon it's about right. Secondly, I'm assuming that the last three Patriots on the list are Wilfork, Mankins, and Brady. If so, where do you reckon these guys will come up in the top 40? Pretty good to have three guys right up there. Also, does anyone stateside actually watch arena football? Always see ads for it on NFL Network, but that's about it.
Yeah, I watch very little arena football.
I watch none.
Yeah, I think those are the three guys that you'll see. I think Brady should be, at worst, top five. I think he'll be number one, but at worst, top five.
Yep.
The other two will probably fall, what, Freddie? Somewhere between 20 and 40?
Yeah, I would say so. It's you know, Wilfork's got a tough position.
I can't really understand how this process worked. And Andy talks about this a lot because it's, for whatever reason, it's something Andy feels really strongly about. I guess what they did was they asked all the players to submit their top 20 of players in football. And they somehow culled the list of top 100 from that. I don't really understand how that could have been. Does that mean that people put down, like, you know, the example that Andy used when he went on this rant was the fullback from Houston, Vonte Leach. Someone put him as one of the 20 best players in football?
Yeah, that's the only way. That's the only way he would have made the list.
And not someone.
Right.
A lot of people would have had to do it for him to reach the list.
Right.
So I don't get it.
Yeah.
I'd like to see exactly what they did. I question it.
Garbage.
Big surprise. I question it. I don't buy it.
Joey writes in again. He says, Paul, I completely agree with your assessment on the Bruins game. The 8-1 drubbing the Bruins laid in the Canucks last night is meaningless if they don't follow it up with winning game two. And hopefully a solid win tomorrow night, i.e. like 4-0, 5-1 type of game, could knock the Canucks back on their heels going into game five. No doubt. I mean, just a win. Doesn't matter what the score is. If they beat the Canucks in game four, this is back up for grabs. You know, I think now you've got the Canucks looking over the shoulder mentally and physically. They are worried about where the next hit's coming from, and mentally they're out of their game.
Freddie, here's an interesting little tidbit that just got posted.
By the way, you.
What?
Mr. Hockey.
What?
Gordie Howe.
Yeah.
Still thinks goal scoring is overrated, power plays and whatnot?
What, they did well in the power play last night.
Exactly. And what happened in the game?
They won.
Yeah.
I didn't say it was overrated.
Still keep trying to win those games 1-0, Claude.
But anyway, Freddie, Gillette Stadium came in on this ESPN Sports Nation poll. It came in as the seventh hardest place to play.
It's interesting that you say that, because we were talking about lists, and I was just going to bring this up. Stripper sent it in. It's an ESPN list ranking the toughest venues in the NFL. This is what we do in a lockout. We come up with lists.
I love it.
Number one was Lambeau Field. Gillette Stadium came in at number seven. Number two was Heinz Field. Three was Quest Seahawks. Four was Arrowhead, obviously the Chiefs. Five was Soldier Field. Six is the Superdome. That's a tough place. It gets loud. And, of course, seven was Gillette, as I mentioned. Eight is the Metrodome. Again, another loud one when they get going. Nine is Lincoln Financial Field, just because your life's in your hands. And 10 is the Oakland Coliseum, where the Raiders play. So that's the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense to me because of how many times the Patriots win. How many years? This is
right.
2 years in a row?
Right, that's where that's based on.
I mean, you it's very difficult to win here.
Yeah.
Because the Patriots are so good.
Right.
To me, not necessarily. Like, I wouldn't put it with Arrowhead.
Right.
You know, in the venue, I think.
Or any of those domes.
The venue here, me, isn't what makes it tough. Whereas Oakland, I think the venue is part of what makes it tough. Certainly not the team that you're playing against.
Right.
That team is stunk
for
years.
The Superdome, I know the Saints are good now, but that place, now that they sell it out, is loud.
I saw someone tweet about this, and a player, and I wanted to give credit to the player, but I can't find it now, asked where the U.S. 8th Circuit Court fell in, on that list.
Toughest
venues to win. But I can't find the player now who tweeted that. So, unfortunately, they will go without credit.
Donald writes in about Gino's unit. He says, I just heard the bit about Fred's dream with Gino in the elevator. It's funny. I think the symbolism here is that Fred is jealous of Gino's relationship with his unit that is so well acquainted that they are attached at the hip, and Fred longs for the same. Believe me, I have a good relationship with my unit. I don't have any problems there.
What do you do with that?
What's that?
Your unit.
That's between me and my unit.
Okay.
Ross writes in, I think the team's workouts are going to help a great deal, especially with the young guys, because I'm a big believer in mental reps. Just the fact that the guys have run through the plays a couple times allows them to go through the plays over and over in their heads. It's not as good as the real thing, but it's still good. And kind of like when Andy sees photos of Brooklyn Decker and can go to the restroom and take mental reps with her. It's not as good as the real thing, but it works for him. So, keep
yeah,
it.
I think that people would be surprised to find out how much they do that on their own. My point is,
well,
without
the mental reps?
Yeah.
I thought you meant Andy in the bathroom.
You know, the rookies needed to have it because they don't know it. But the other guys, when they're working out on their own, they're taking mental reps. That's what they're doing.
No, but if you've never been exposed to it as a rookie.
That's what I just said.
Right.
The rookies needed to learn it. But the players that know it, that's what they do when they're working out. They're not just, you know, benching like Andy Hart to try to get, you know, pretend he's still 24 and, you know, has a career to worry about. They're working out, but they're also on the field with practical applications of what they're doing. I think with the benefit of the offseason,
put them down.
The benefit of the offseason stuff to me is for the coaches to install everything and then get to look at the film and see what needs to be tweaked and what needs to be worked on more and then in turn have the players see that and learn from it. That's where the benefit of the offseason program is for me. The passing camps,
right?
The mini camps, the OTA, all that stuff.
You know, as a team, you're right. And also there's the individual part where they get to get in front of each guy and say, this is what you need to work on. You know, we've been watching you on tape. You need to work on this as an individual. And
now, for
you
the
can't
rookies,
do that now.
For the rookies, the email is absolutely right. You can't replace that. Just instead of just working out, now they at least have some terminology and something to tangibly see in their mind when they're working out. Now they can go out and take those mental reps, as the emailer put it. That's a good point.
All right, so we're getting close to the end of the show. I want to remind people, go to the PFW Facebook page and look at the Jake Steele Cadillac Crime Fighter illustrations and comic strip. And if anyone else has any other renderings that they want to give, what Jake Steele should look like, you can send them into webradio@patriots.com. We'll post them on Facebook. And Eric will be back, we hope, with a story about fishing with Josh Boyer.
We never heard from Eric.
No, we never heard from him.
That's not a good sign.
I thought you were going to have all kinds of drop-ins about, like, people drowning and stuff like that.
Well, I had the Gilligan's Island and the Caddyshack.
Come on.
The Bubbles.
Gilligan Island and Bubbles? What are you doing over there?
I don't know. What
you know, just because Doc is gone doesn't mean now you're on vacation for the next year.
He liked that one.
It's a good one.
And Doc is gone.
Yes.
Did we notice that? Do we miss him?
Oh,
I don't know.
Well, cheap shots.
I'm sure James did because the lunch cost a lot less.
I can't believe he's not calling or writing in. You know?
I think he's actually.
They don't have internet in Colorado. All those mountains that block the internet.
All right. That's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Paul and I will be back on Thursday. And so I think will Eric and Andy. Right?
And Andy?
All right. We'll see you then.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.